By popular request, we're going to talk a little bit about the history and the biographical background of Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the author of Mesillas Yesharim. First of all, Ramchal was born in the year 5467, which corresponds to 1707, and he lived just shy of 40 years, dying in 1747, and we shall see that that has its significance. To put him in perspective with others of his time, the Baal Shem Tov was born in 1698. The Gaon of Vilna was born in 1720. Another historical fact, which is of considerable importance, is that Shavasi Tzvi, who was the false messiah, who created an enormous furor in the Jewish world, died in 1676. Just about 30 years prior to the birth of the Moshe Chaim Luzzatto. Now, Ramchal was born in Italy, in Padua, and was born into a very prominent scholarly family. And the father's affluence gave the Moshe Chaim an opportunity to avail himself of various tutors, so that not only was he extremely well-versed in Torah, but he also acquired a proficiency in many of the sciences, such as mathematics, physics, botany, and whatever else was known at the time. He also was quite proficient in languages, in addition to knowing his Italian, also knew Latin, Greek, French, and possibly several others. The names of his Torah instructors are not too familiar to us. Other than the one who stands out most prominently is Rav Yeshaya Bosson, who remained his teacher and mentor for many years, and as we will see later, numerous times came to his defense. As a youngster, the Moshe Chaim came across the Kabbalah writings in Rabbi Shaya's library and took an enormous liking to Kabbalah. And at a very early age, he had mastered all of the writings of the Arizal. And Kabbalah actually became his life's love as well as his life's work. Ramchal was extremely talented in writing both prose and poetry, and in fact, his first work was a book on techniques of writing. He wrote various dramas. And in his plays, he would have various concepts and traits personified, such as one of the actors would be justice, another of the actors would be wickedness, etc. He also was a very prolific poet, and he wrote numerous poems. He wrote poems for various occasions, as well as a book of poetry where he emulated Tehillim, Psalms, in writing 150 separate poems corresponding to the 150 chapters of the Psalms. When he was a young man, there was a group of scholars in Padua who had formed a study group, and Ramchal joined this group and rather quickly became very prominent in this group, in fact, assuming a position of leadership. They also studied Kabbalah, and because of the fact that Kabbalah was supposed to be studied clandestinely, they used to meet clandestinely rather than study in the Bais Medrash, where they would routinely learn Talmud. Ramchal has many works on Kabbalah. His classic work on Kabbalah is called the Kuf Lamed Ches Pisrei Chochma, or 138 Gates or Keys to the Understanding of Kabbalah. He wrote an 800-page work on Kehelis. He wrote a 200-page work totally devoted to explaining the very last verse in Devarim in Torah. He wrote a sefer, or at least he began writing a sefer, which he called Zayah Tinyana, meaning the second Zayah. And in the middle of Bereshis, where he apparently stopped writing up to Miketz, he had already written 600 pages. Now, the group that he was with was a unique group of scholars who, in addition to being academicians, also took upon themselves various behavioral rules that was required for membership in this prestigious group. Some of these rules were that any merit that they get from their learning goes to the credit of Klal Yisrael, of the entire household of Israel, rather than to themselves. Each one is to share a performance of mitzvah with the entire group. Everyone is to accept rebuke and reprimand from one another with love and affection. Each member was to meticulously guard one's tongue to avoid what might be the remotest smattering of falsehood or gossip, lashon hara. They were to observe to the utmost every chumra, every precautionary measure that has been instituted in custom as well as in halacha. Once a month, every member was required to relearn, review the entire Teva Shebiksav, the scriptures, and, if possible, to review the entire six categories of the Mishnah, the entire Mishnah, once a month. Now, because of his extraordinary genius, Ramchal became the Rebbe, the leader of this group. And as sometimes happens with very devoted students who get carried away by their greatness of the teacher, and they may become fanatically devoted, one of his students wrote a letter praising the greatness of the teacher and saying that Rav Moshe Chaim Latzatu was a very holy person, and that he has regular visitations from heavenly angels who come to teach him Torah, and also that the souls of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov reveal themselves to him periodically, and they reveal to him the secrets of Kabbalah, which he is incorporating in his work, the Zayah Tinyana, the second Zayah. Now, this letter was eventually conveyed to one of the authoritative Torah leaders at the time, Maram Chagiz, Reb Moshe Chagiz, who was one who had carried on the battle against Shabbosai Tzvi and the Mashiachei HaShekha. This is not the point to go into long history of Shabbosai Tzvi. Suffice it to say that Shabbosai Tzvi was a very learned and very brilliant and charismatic person who developed the delusion that he was Mashiach and had an enormous following, which initially included some of the Torah leaders and scholars who later on realized that he was a madman rather than Mashiach. And even after the disaster with Shabbatai Tzvi and the many followers who believed in him, even after he converted to Islam, there were other false Mashiachim, other false messiahs. And Maram Chagiz carried on a very bitter and violent battle against them because of the extraordinary harm that they were doing to Klal Yisrael. Well, you've got to put this situation with Ramchal against that background, that fresh from these battles, a letter comes to Maram Chagiz that here is a young man in Padua who is immersed in Kabbalah and who claims, according to this letter, to have visitations from angels and from the patriarchs. And what could Ram Chagiz say except, here we go again. We've just gotten rid of these others, and here we have this young man who's going to give us some new Mashiach problems. To make things even more confusing and much worse, because of the fear that Kabbalah could mislead people who were not too mentally and emotionally stable as they did, as it obviously had done to Shabbosai Tzvi, one of the respected elderly Torah scholars wrote a sefer where he strongly discouraged people from studying Kabbalah. Well, to Rabbi Shechaim Litzato, this was a direct attack on the holiest of holies. And he wrote a rebuttal totally demolishing the arguments of this opponent to Kabbalah. When Maram Chagiz saw this, here was a young upstart taking on an elderly, respected Torah scholar. And so Maram Chagiz wrote a letter to the rabbis in Venice, which at that time was a leading Jewish community. And incidentally, Maram Chagiz was in Altoona. He asked them to please research what is going on with this group in Italy, and to see that their Kabbalistic interests are stifled, and to prevent anyone from taking on any kind of messianic delusions that the study of Kabbalah might arouse within them. The rabbis of Venice turned to Ramchal and to his Rebbe Rabbi Shaya Bosen. The latter investigated Ramchal, could not find anything wrong with his studies and teachings, and Ramchal wrote a letter to Rabbi Moshe Chagiz defending himself and denying some of the things that had been said about him. However, a letter surfaced that was assumed to be authentic that Ramchal had written to one of his acquaintances, where he allegedly claimed that it is true that he has visitations from a malach, an angel who teaches him Torah, and that he does receive some of his Kabbalistic information from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, who reveal themselves to him. Again, this added fuel to the fire, and his teacher, Rabbi Yeshaya, pleaded with him to avoid controversy and to quiet things down for the sake of peace. Several concessions were then made by Ramchal. One, that he would not write anything claiming that it is of angelic origin, and that everything that he would write only indicating that this was his own concept. He also agreed that he would not write any Kabbalah Sefer using the language and the style of the Zohar. But he did leave himself the right to write Kabbalah in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew. He stated that when he reaches 40, and when he comes to Israel at the age of 40, he will then be permitted, leaves himself the right to freely write Kabbalah in whichever way he pleases. Things quieted down a bit, but again, there was a constant undertone of suspicion about Ramchal. Incidentally, Ramchal at this time went into business with his father. We've got to remember, we are talking about Ramchal when he is in the age approximately 20, 22, 23. This is when this is all happening. At age 25, he married and had a son. He continued to write various works, including poetry, payutim, various lyrics to be used in tefillah during the davening. And then a unfortunate thing happened. And it is one of the tragic things that such incidents have repeated themselves in Jewish history. Because of the persistent suspicion that Ramchal was dabbling in Kabbalah, the rabbis of Venice sent a committee of three to investigate what is going on in that time. I think the Ramchal had moved to Manitoba. That is what is going on with Ramchal. Two of the three were apparently scoundrels, and they returned with a report that they had found among Ramchal's possessions many paraphernalia that were used in satanic rites. They also said that they had heard Ramchal claimed that his book of 150 poems will one day supersede and replace the Tehillim, the Psalms of David HaMelech. Without confirming this, the rabbis of Venice believed their committee's report, and they came out with a very sharp excommunication of Ramchal, that all of Ramchal's works must be destroyed and burnt as works of heresy, cursing anyone who would learn the works of Ramchal or associate it with him in any way. Ramchal's Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshaya, who knew that this was all false, fought bitterly in defense of Ramchal, but was all in vain. And Ramchal realized that it was no longer safe for him to be here, and he picked up and moved to Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, he was welcomed as the great Torah scholar that he was. And remember, at this time, Ramchal is all of 28 years old. He became the Torah leader in the community, and he taught Torah and was a very devoted teacher and leader. He remained in Amsterdam for 10 years, and there is where he wrote some of his svarim, those that we routinely study, such as Mesilas Yeshorim, The Path of the Just. He also wrote the Sefer Derech Hashem, The Way of Hashem. He also wrote the Sefer Derech Tevunos, A Way of Understanding, in which he teaches us how to approach the study of Torah and Talmud. He wrote philosophical works and continued to write his works on prose and poetry. At the age of 38, he went to Israel and settled in Akko. And about a year later, when he was just shy of 40 years of age, there was an epidemic which took his life, and apparently his wife and son died at about the same time in that particular epidemic. Ramchal is buried in Tveria, and if you visit Tveria and you go up to the top of the mountain to the cave where Rebbe Akiva is buried, right adjacent to the cave of Rebbe Akiva is a huge monument marking Ramchal's grave, overlooking the city of Tveria and overlooking the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee. It is a beautiful sight, and if one realizes that one is standing at the final resting places of these two spiritual giants in Jewish history, the Tanya Rabbi Akiva and the prime ethicist of Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Shechaim Lutzato, it is also a very spiritually moving experience. There is no indication in the writings of Ramchal that he reacted with rancor and bitterness to his persecutions. One of the things we repeatedly learn from our great tzaddikim is that we learn from their lives and personalities even more than from their written works. This is in distinct contrast to people who are great secular philosophers and scientists and so forth, where the scientific and philosophic world can accept their teachings, even though the individual's life himself might not be exemplary. Well, in Torah, we disqualify any work that is not written by a person of impeccable integrity. we learn in Pirkei Avos, Baruch Shebocha Bohem Uvebishnosam. Blessed is Hashem, who has selected the Chachomim and their teachings. And it is said in this way because first the selection must be of the person and then of his teachings. We will not accept knowledge and wisdom that has come out of a contaminated vessel. And so in learning the works of Atzadikim, it is well to know something about their lives. And Ramchal lived a truly spiritual life, which is reflected in his great work, the Mesilas Yesharim, as well in his many other excellence for them. Very well, we will continue tomorrow. We begin now with Ramchal's introduction to Mesilas Yesharim. Amar HaMechaber, the author, states, HaChibur HaZeh LeChibartiv LeLamed LiVnei HaOdom Es Asher Lo Yodo. My intent in writing this work is not to teach people something totally new of which they had not been aware. Elo LaHazkirom Es HaYadua Lahem. Rather, my purpose is to remind them of that which they already know, umefursam etzlam pirsom godel, and is already very obvious and evident to them. Kiroisimtza b'roiv dvorai, because in most of my words you will not find el dvorim sheroiv bnei ha'odam yoidim oisam, only things which most people already know, v'loy mistapkim bohem klal, and they have no doubt about the validity of these things that I will be writing. However, ela shekifi roiv pirsumam, precisely because these things are so well publicized, ukineged ma she'amitosam gluya lakoil, and precisely because their truth is revealed and evident to everyone, kach ha'hela mehem motzoi mi'oid v'hashik ha'raba. Precisely because they are so well known and so clearly evident, people are often oblivious to them and forget them completely. Now, here Ramchal is explaining a psychological mechanism which is very, very clear to me. There are times, indeed, where we may do things because we are ignorant of them. That is, we are completely unaware of certain facts. There are other times, however, when we are very well aware of certain facts, but a psychological defense within ourselves makes us oblivious to them. And for all intents and purposes, it is as though we do not know them. Our behavior is as though we had not known these at all. Let me give you an example from my daily work. There are many people who have very severe alcohol problems. Intellectually, they can tell you everything that is wrong with excessive drinking. Intellectually, they may even be able to tell you how much they have drunk during the week, and it may be a phenomenal amount. yet they are unable to associate these facts that they know with their behavior and with their destructive actions, which everyone else can see. The mechanism behind this is referred to as denial. Now, denial does not mean that one is lying. I mean, there are enough people who lie, and certainly alcoholics lie also. But lying is a conscious process. The individual knows what the truth is, and he knows that he is covering up for whatever reason. Denial is an unconscious process whereby the individual is not aware that he is lying. In other words, he is really lying to oneself. The reason behind denial is that if the individual were aware of certain facts, he might have to change his behavior. And change is the thing he wants to avoid. Therefore, in order to avoid the change, his psychological mechanism simply turns off the awareness of this. Now, this is pointed out by the Novi in very clear words thousands of years before Freud. Hashmein levo mazeh, v'oznov hachbed, v'einov hosha. The heart of these people is fattened, calloused, so that they don't feel. Their ears are heavy so that they don't hear. And their eyes are pasted so that they don't see. Why is that? Pen yira be'einov, v'yishma be'oznov, u'levova yovin, v'shav v'ofalai. Because if they would hear and see and feel, then they would have to change their behavior. And this is what they do not want to do. So they remain blind and deaf and insensitive in order that their behavior should not change. Now, this is what we refer to as denial, and this is what Ramchal is referring to. And he says that, I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't know. I'm going to tell you things that you know already, but to which you have made yourself oblivious. Therefore, Al Kain, Eina Te'elas Hanilkat Min HaSefer Yoytze Min HaKriya Boi Pa'arachas. There is very little advantage of learning this work by or reading it one time. If it's a question of obtaining new information, then when you read something and you see a fact that you had not known before, then reading it one time has accomplished something. But if it's something that you know already, what good is it reading it one time? You already know what it says. It's very possible that the reader will not find anything that he acquires here after reading that he did not know before he read it. Alamot, perhaps very little new may appear. The only advantage can be in repeatedly reading it and thinking of it steadily. And the reason for that is there is such a thing as denial being worn away by attrition. People sometimes ask me, when you work with an alcoholic, is it always successful? I said, of course not. However, each time we try to bring this to the individual's attention, we do make a dent in the defensive armor. And so if he has not accepted the problem the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, then he will on the fifth time. However, had we not done it the first four times, the fifth time would not have had any impression. The fifth time would have been the first time. So what Ramchal is saying is that we can accomplish something by repetition. Because repetition will impress upon him things that people have a tendency to forget, and he will take to heart and pay attention to his duties and obligations that he tends to overlook. In this last phrase, Ramchal virtually summarizes the entire book. he will pay attention to his obligation, to his duty. Our entire attitude toward life and our behavior will depend on orientation as to what is life about. If we are here to be contented, to get as much amusement as we can out of this amusement park that we assume the world to be, then our behavior will be in one direction. And then we will try and flee from every burden, from every distress, because after all, we're here to have a good time. If, however, an individual realizes, I am here for a purpose, a mission, an obligation, I have a duty to perform. Whether I enjoy myself in the process or not is totally secondary. Then his attitude and his behavior changes completely. Choyvosoi, I have an obligation. And in this work as well as in other works, Ramchal emphasizes, what is the person's duty in the world, and that we will come to in the next chapter. However, he mentioned this as in the introduction, and it really is the key to the entire work. The Sira, you will see, if you pay attention to what goes on with most of the world, you will see that most people who are bright, who are very intelligent, will put the majority of their thought and their mental activity in the subtleties of various sciences, the and the profound analysis, each individual according to that which naturally attracts him the most. In other words, there are some who will put their entire effort into research of creation and nature, biology, botany, whatever. Ve'acherim, others, yitnu kol yunum litchuno v'l'handosa. They'll put their effort into mathematics and physics and engineering, astronomy. Acherim, others, limlochos in various trades, in various skills and arts. Ve'acherim, and still others, may have a loftier kind of preoccupation. They may have a more spiritual subject of their efforts. Yikonsu Yosra Lakodesh. They will occupy themselves with study of items of Kedusha. Limada Torah Kedusha, the study of Torah. However, their study of Torah will involve Mehem Bil Pilpuli Halochas, discussions of the Halochas, very complicated and intricate Pilpul, which is a kind of analysis, questions and answers, and so forth. Mehemba midrashim. Some will occupy themselves with the homiletics of the Torah. Mehemba piskei adinim. Others with the definitive halachic decisions. Yet, whether an individual chooses kedusha, Torah, or any of the arts and sciences, ach me'atim yiyu min amina zay, you will find relatively few that will set aside time to study and to meditate on what constitutes the completion and the perfection of the service of Hashem. Meaning, alohahava, and what does it mean to love Hashem? Alayira, to have reverence and fear for Hashem. Aladvekus, to be attached to Hashem. Valkol shal chelke achsidus, and to all other aspects of piety and saintliness. So he says, look, people preoccupy themselves with intellectual subjects. But in terms of perfecting one's spirituality, in perfecting one's character traits, That, he says, that remains neglected. And it's not because they minimize the importance of that. Quite the contrary. If you will ask a person what is his attitude about character traits, about needing to refine oneself, every person will say, of course, this is the most important thing that a person has to do. There is no one who is truly wise to whom these things are not absolutely clear and evident. No one will question that refining one's character and removing one's character defects is of primary importance. Then the question is, well, if this is so important, then how come people are constantly absorbed in intellectual subjects and no one spends enough time on studying the Sforim and studying the works that tell us about character traits? Now, at the time of Ramchal, the Sifrei Musar were rather few and far between. There was the Shaar HaTshuva of the Rabbeinu Yoina. There was the Chovos HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart, of Rabbeinu Bachiai. There was the Ochos Chaim of the Rosh. There are some Sifrei Musar, some works of ethics, that preceded Ramchal. But the majority of people, whether they were Torah scholars or students of various other fields of knowledge, would take very little time to pursue a study of how one must perfect one's character. It was sort of taken for granted, this will happen. The reason that people do not make an effort to study about these things, is precisely because this is so clear and so evident, and their knowledge of this is so widespread, they do not feel that it's necessary to set aside time to study this. The precious time that they have, they feel, should be set aside acquiring additional knowledge, whether in various areas of science or in study of Torah. As you know, Rabbi Shaul Salant, who is considered the father of the Musa movement, that is the movement to make a formal study of ethics, was once asked by someone, he says, I only have a few minutes of the day that's free, maybe only 15 minutes that I can set aside to study Torah. Now, you say study of ethics is so important. You say study of Musa is so primary. Should I use those 15 minutes to study Musa, or should I study Mishnayos, Gemara, whatever they're those 15 minutes? So Rabbi Shaul Salant said, no, you should study Musa those 15 minutes. He says, you mean to say that Musa is more important than Chumash or Mishnah? He says, no, what I mean is that if you'll study Musa for 15 minutes, you'll discover that you have another 3 hours to study Torah. So Musa is the key not only to character refinement, but to actual study of Torah. And those who think that they can get away with study of Torah and not study Musa may find themselves derelict even in the study of Torah. So Ramchal goes on to say, what happens then is that since all the keen and intellectual minds are devoting their time and effort to the study of these profound subjects, v'lo yishoer limud hadvorim ho'ele u'kriyas hasforim izahamin, so the study of character refinement and reading the Sifrei Musar, the books on ethics, remains only kiim etzel oisam she'en sichlam kol kach dak, only for those whose mind is not keen enough to be able to be involved in the profound studies of knowledge of various kinds or Torah, the kol of liyaskas, and may even be dull and not sensitive.
You will find these people who do not have access to the profound studies of Torah, they are going to be the ones who study Musa and character refinement.
It's quite common that in some shuls between Minch and Maariv, the rabbi will learn Ein Yaakov. Now, Ein Yaakov is that portion of the Talmud that does not deal with actual halacha, but rather tells of incidents in the lives of the authors of the Talmud or of other people at that time, or discusses the interpretation of various portions of the scriptures, all that have to do with behavior and ethics rather than with actual halacha. And you will find that the people who attend the rabbi's discussion are people who are not learned, who come in after a day's work, and they spend a little time studying Torah in this fashion. You will find that those who are davening, who are scholars, are not listening to the rabbi's discussion of Ein Yaakov. It is as though that is beneath their dignity. They have much more important things to look at. They are studying a profound halachic treatise in one of the Sforim in the Beis Medrash, but it would be beneath them to occupy themselves with the Musa that the rabbi is talking about. And this is precisely what the Machal says. As a result of this, as a result of this customary practice, if you see someone acting according to the rules of piety, you're going to come to the conclusion, oh, this poor soul, he probably is ignorant of Talmud, and he has nothing left to do other than to live according to Musa. The Ulam told us, the consequences of this unfortunate practice is bad both for the wise and for those who are not wise, not learned. Because this causes that both of these people are deprived of true chassidus, of true saintliness and piety, and it will be very difficult to find true chassidus in the world. Why is that? Ki yachsa min hachachomim, those who are scholars and who are learned, limiyuti yonaboy. They're not paying attention to it. They are putting their efforts into what they think is more important. Vi yachsa min abilti hachachomim, so those who do spend their time in learning musar and chassidus, they do not have the knowledge of Torah and Talmud, which would enable chassidus to be perfected. As the Gemara says, Loi amoretz chosid, a person who is ignorant of Torah cannot be a truly pious person. L'miyut hasagosa moise, because these individuals, since they are not the scholarly type, lack a profound understanding of chassidus. And incidentally, when we are using the word chassidus here, we are using it in the term, in the sense that the Gemara uses this term, of meaning piety and saintliness, not in the term that has developed in connection with chassidim of a rebbe and chassidus as contrasted to hisnagdus. This is not what he is talking about. He is using the term chassidus to mean doing more than is expected by the letter of the law.
And as a result of people's being ignorant of what Hasidus is really all about, most people go around thinking Hasidus, that piety, toler ba'miras mizmoirem harbe viduyim arukim meyoid, is manifested by a great deal of davening, a great deal of saying tilim, a great deal of vidui, confessions of what has done wrong, tzoymes kashim, difficult fasts, mortification of the flesh, tfilas kerach v'sheleg, breaking the ice to go into mikveh, torment oneself as in a self-flagellation kind of thing. This is what people's concept might be that a true chosid is. And these are kulam dvorim, these are all things, asher ein hasecho noch bahem vein adashekta. These are things that are incompatible with intellect, they're totally irrational. It is told that a chosid once boasted to the Rishoner, to the Rebbe of Rishon, that he is mortifying himself to get rid of his sins and to purify his character. He does not eat any cooked food all week, only on Shabbos. He torments himself by wearing nails in his shoes. He rolls around in the snow to suffer from the cold. He has someone actually whip him, as they did in the days of the Sanhedrin, when a person was given lashes for his sins. And he boasted to the Rishoner how he's doing all of these things. So as the Rishoner took him out to the stable and showed him a horse, he says, that horse does not eat any cooked food at all. And he says, if you look, the horse rolls around in the snow and he has nails in his shoes. And he gets whipped very often. He says, but he's still a horse. The practice of self-mortification was never intended. And except for rare circumstances where this was advised for certain very severe sins as a kind of penance. The important thing that Ramchal requires is that the cheretz kodma l'Torah, that character refinement is an essential and a prerequisite for Torah. Reb Chaim Shmulevitch quotes a medrash, which is actually, for use lack of a better word, a alarming medrash. The Torah states that when Avram saw the three angels in the form of men, and he saw them from afar, Vayar, he saw them. And later on it says, Vayar, and he saw them, Vayorot Zlikrosam, and he ran toward them. So the Medrash is bothered by why does it have to say twice that he saw? What did he see the second time that he did not see the first time? He did not immediately run toward them when he saw them the first time, until the second time, Vayar. So Reb Chaim quotes the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, which says that the first time he saw that they were Bnei Odom Gidoilim, these were great people. How was that? Shechina Mamtenes Aleihem. That he saw that the divine presence was waiting upon them. And he said, Im Shechina Mamtenes Aleihem, if I will see that the Shechina, that the divine presence is waiting upon them, then I know that Bnei Odom Gidoilim Him, then I know that they are great people. However, if I will see that they are acting respectfully to one another, and they are acting in a dignified manner, giving each other honor, if I see that they are giving honor to one another, then I know that bnei adam hugonim him, then I know that they are decent people. And Reb Chaim points out from this medrash that it could be that there are people who qualify to be called gedolim, great,
but they are not yet mehugonim. They are not yet decent. And he points out that we are told that the disciples of Rabbi Akiva, thousands of them, died in the period between Pesach and Shavuos because they were not behaving with dignity and respect toward one another. Now we understand that the disciples of Rabbi Akiva were enormous Talmid Chachamim, great scholars, and yet they, in spite of their great knowledge and scholarship, failed to be mehugonim, failed to be decent and respectable. So we see here the point that the Ramchal is emphasizing. Clearly, scholarship and Torah knowledge is tremendously important. There's no question, no one minimizes it. However, he says, to indulge in knowledge, and the knowledge not filter down to impact upon one's midas, upon one's character, he says, is a dereliction. And therefore, he says, it is important that everyone, learned as well as unlearned, make a concerted effort to learn about Musav, to learn about ethics, to learn about proper midos. Because if we don't do that, and if we don't learn it regularly, then he says there will be a denial of it. Now, it's important also to realize that my character improvement of yesterday is not adequate for today. Today I have a new job. And if I don't increase my character improvement today, not only will I not advance, but I'm very likely to slip and lose what I've achieved yesterday. It's like climbing up a hill or taking a wagon up a hill. As long as you're moving forward, you're advancing. Once you stop, you begin to slide backwards. And this is why Ramchal says this sefer is not to be read once or twice and put away. This is something to be constantly reviewed, because character building and refinement of character traits is an ongoing task. We will continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.